Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you. Father, I thank you for what you have burned into my heart to give to the people starting today. So, Father, I'm asking that not only that they'll be hearers of the word, but, Father, this will apply so demonstratively in their hearts, Father, that they will respond to it, they will activate it and actually apply it, Father God, and they will see the benefits of your hand. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I get into it, I want to say now, God really laid this on my heart. Hi, Jeff. God really laid this on my heart, and it's a series that I'm going to be giving you on fasting and praying. And the reason why I feel that it was so burnt into my heart is every January, Foursquare sends every pastor. There's 17,000 of us. And they send every one of us a book. And the book is generally written by a missionary. And last year I gave many of you a book to what they had sent me. I ordered more and I gave it to you. I'm really gonna get this book into your hands as well. It's written by a missionary who is from Sri Lanka and a very timid, very quiet man. My wife and I didn't have the privilege to talk to him, but we had the privilege to see him. He was at the convention at Washington, D.C. And as I got into this book, it was just phenomenal. His timidity, his humbleness, his quietness, God used all that. And he's in a war-torn culture. And some of the things that have happened, a lot of it is enlisted and kind of entwined with fasting and praying. And some of the things that he began to see were blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening. He actually was invited to Bulgaria, and the pastor that invited him asked him to climb a ladder and get up on the roof of a building because there were so many thousands of people on the ground level, he didn't want them to get crushed. And so he was there, and he was speaking a very quiet, low-key kind of conversation. He didn't give a long-winded conversation. He gave it on salvation. He said, and as he looked out, he started to see the reality, the relevance of Christ actually walking through the crowd. People were coming out of wheelchairs. People had screamed because their eyes were open. Their ears were becoming open. And one of the most phenomenal things that he had witnessed was a young lady that was holding her daughter up, newborn, with her left arm because her right arm was deformed. She had half an arm. And as she was holding this baby up, she went down under the Spirit of God, under the power of God, and a lot of people chambered around this young girl were also crying out and a lot of commotion. He said, I didn't have the privilege to see the reality of what was happening because the crowd had kind of, blocked my vision. But when she came up off the ground, she had two arms. God had grown her arm out. So let me tell you something. There's power in God. And here's what he said. He said, in the third world countries that are so deprived of all of the materialistic world that we are involved in, overcome with, they are completely inundated in Christ, and they love him with all of their heart. And he said, I want my Western culture family, meaning us in Canada and such, that we would actually humble ourselves and get in tune with Christ. Because when Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do, the greater things are seeing the miracles, seeing that whatever is a stumbling block of sickness and disease, there will be a turnaround. And one of the most powerful things that you could ever see that is a tool that God has given us is fasting. Fasting. And so what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning is fasting and praying. Now, the series that I'm going to be giving you is fasting and praying. Today it's for guidance. Next week it's for healing. And I'm not getting ahead of the Lord. I know he wants me to continue on it. I don't know exactly what the third week will entomb, but we're going to be talking about fasting and praying for guidance. If you remember what was in the bulletin last week, I tried to encourage you to fast and pray for the first 3 days of the new year. And by the way, I pray that you've enjoyed 7 days of a new year. This is our first service of 2018. And what I wanted us to do is fast and pray for not only ourselves individually, but also fast and pray corporately for the church. Amen? And we're going to be getting into that as well. But God ultimately, his desire, if you remember what the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, given unto you. So anything you have need of, anything that you're desperate for, you seek God. Well, we're going to be looking at how do we seek God. You seek God through fasting and praying. Amen. And a lot of people, they say, well, I don't really believe in fasting, because fasting, all that that actually produces is great hunger. Well, the people that say that are the same people that say, I don't believe in tithing, because what's tithing do? It just actually produces that I have less money. Well, you have to understand two main articles that God brings forth that he insists that if we want to have anything in this world, sometimes, not over everything, and I'm going to explain that as we go on, but he wants us over those main emergency needs. We need to learn to fast, and we need to learn to tithe. Because through the fasting and the tithing, those are the two areas that God says, and I will show up. And in fasting, God takes over. In tithing, God will bless you much more than what you could ever give back to him. Amen? So with all said, we are going to be looking at fasting and praying, because guidance is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Guidance is something that is in the heart of every human being. Everyone wants to know, what does my future hold? And people that don't know the Lord uses different methods. They use astrology. They use tarot cards. They use fortune tellers. They use psychics to try to find out what tomorrow holds. They're trying to get some kind of supernatural entity to give them direction on tomorrow. But if you are a born-again believer, then you have to understand that the heart, the main throb of every human being is we need guidance. A child needs guidance. Children as a whole need guidance. Adults need guidance over matters such as, do I go to this job and let go of this job? Do I buy this house opposed to this house? Do I buy this car as opposed to this car? We have a lot of different needs that we need guidance. Children have guidance in high school. There's guidance counselors. Guidance counselors kind of promote the way so that the child can be prepared properly to go to college, or a college that would be of their ability to get in. Now, if a college is doing the right thing, then people that are in college should also have guidance counselors. And a lot of colleges don't do this. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And they would kind of fine-tune you to get you on the job that you're getting educated for. We have all kind of decisions and all kind of choices. And along the way, we need guidance. Amen? We need guidance. Now, guidance to find out about the future is not always about good versus evil. Sometimes it's about better versus best. And so we all have choices. We all need guidance, because if you could really think about your past, every one of us at one time or another, we had made a bad choice in our history. And if we knew then what we know now, we wouldn't have made those wrong decisions. So all that said, I want you to know that guidance is for everyone. And so God wants to be your guide. He wants to be the beam of light that is going to shine the perfect direction for you and for me. As I told you last week, we got into a more of a treaching, remember? For those of you that weren't here, what is a treaching? It's a preaching teaching. I took my time and I gave you the resolutions as to what God said he wants to resolve for you in this upcoming year. Man can't. We make all kind of resolutions every New Year's Eve, every New Year's Day, and we can't stick to it. But God has in his word resolutions, and God is not a man that he should lie. And so the word of God is yea and amen. What man can't apart from God, with God, you can do all things. Amen. And so we looked at the resolutions and come to realize God wants to even be in control of how he's going to bring declaration to your life. Also, he wants to be in control of guiding us properly. So with all said, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezra. And in the book of Ezra, there is a prayer for guidance. Ezra says in chapter 8, verse 21, Ezra the priest has proclaimed a fast. Now, generally, you don't proclaim a fast unless it's an emergency. You don't have to fast over every situation that you are confronted with and wonder, what should you do? In other words, if you go to a restaurant, you want to buy a steak, and you're not sure you want the steak or the macaroni, you don't have to fast to wait and see what kind of a decision is God going to give me. If you are sitting there and you're looking through the television channels, you don't have to fast to see, what do you want to watch? You want to watch the news? You want to watch a sports channel? There are certain things you don't have to fast over. But when you have an emergency, when it is desperate, and it is now to zero level where you have to have the right answer, you can't afford to make a wrong decision, that's when you are to fast. Well, Ezra calls for a fast. What was the reason? Well, you have to understand, the children of Israel at this time have come to the end of captivity. There was a time 70 years earlier, that God had seen the children of Israel had walked away from God in their heart. They started to worship false gods and handcrafted images. God said, I've had enough. So the Bible says that he whistled for a northern nation of Babylon. And Babylon at that time, being led by Nebuchadnezzar, came in and took the children of Israel out of their homeland of Jerusalem. Many of the men tried to fight for their stance, and they lost their lives. There was only a remnant that was taken back, and they were taken back to Babylon. And there they were there for 70 years. And at the period, at the end of 70 years, God says, I have seen that their punishment had been fulfilled. So now God, what he has done, he has sensitized the heart of the Persian king, King Cyrus, Cyprus, I think it is. And he turned around and he got the king to admit, I want you to go ahead and go back home. He gave them the freedom, the privilege to go back to their homeland and rebuild their city. Not only that, but he also made sure that there was a decree written to all the Babylonians that they were to give these people the gold and the silver necessary so as to rebuild their temple. Now, the problem with all this, you have all these Israelites, 70 years that they have been entrenched into the pagan culture, into the Persian culture, and now they're getting all their goods because they were there a long time. They were there for a very long time. So maybe they had businesses. Maybe they had a lot of wealth built up. They had a lot of furniture built up. And so here they're packing everything up, and they're about to make this pilgrimage to go from Persia to back to the homeland. It would have kind of reminded you of watching the settlers, the early settlers in the 1800s, that they had their wagon trains, and they were taking all of their property, all of the things that they owned, and they were going to go and make a better life for themselves. But along the way, as this wagon train was convoying across the plains, you come to find that they had a constant concern in their minds because they were afraid of Indians. Indians would come, ambush them, attack them, and ultimately burn everything they had and kill them. Well, here it is. You come to find that Ezra is the priest, and he is the one that God spoke to and God had given favor to, that now as the king of Persia said, you are welcome to go back home, we have released you. Now he's going to lead some 2 million Jews across from Babylon, from the Persian Gulf, all the way to the homeland. But the problem he had is that there were many roads that led out of Persia. And he knew, as a matter of fact, that many of these roads had bandits in them. There were bandits that would hide out in the caves on the side of the road, and they would wait until a favorable time when some individual or individuals would come across that road. They would ambush them, they would kill them, and they would steal everything from them. So you come to find that Ezra knowing about this, Ezra is afraid. Not only is Ezra, the priest, afraid, but he's also ashamed, because it says here in verse 22, it tells us, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. In other words, he was bragging to the king of Persia and saying, our God, the God that we serve, is a mighty God. He is a God of protection. He's a God of deliverance. He's a God of provision. He is our front guard. He is our rear guard. And Ezra was bragging and building up the God of all heaven and earth. But then as he's about to enter in, here's the human being of who he is. A lot of times we read the Bible, we say, they were so supernatural. No, they weren't. They're just like you and I. He was so afraid and so ashamed because he thought to himself, I should have asked for an escort. I should have asked. The king was willing to give me anyone, anything. I should have asked for soldiers to come and protect us, but I didn't. So what does he do? He said, I am not going to go and make a wrong decision and have every one of us wiped out by these bandits. I need to make sure that I'm choosing the right road. So I need to bring God in on this situation. So it tells us here in verse 21, and it just went out on me. I'll read it to you anyhow. Verse 21, it says, then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way, the best way, the right route for us and our little ones and our possessions. So here it was a matter of safety. It was a matter of safety, and he wasn't going to take a step until he brought God into the picture. He wanted to make sure, God, only you know exactly what my future holds. Only you can protect me. Only you can give me the right decision. So what did he do? He called for a fast, and he called for the children of Israel to pray. I want you to know that what I'm about to preach to you, I've actually seen it come to pass. Because in my early life as a young Christian, I came to a place where I had just come back from Las Vegas. I was trying to build up my roots again. I had 5 children at the time and didn't really have a good job. In a matter of fact, I didn't even have a job for a while. When I finally acquired a job, the best job I could get because the economy had blighted in the very early 1980s, was I got a job at Kmart. I was a department manager, not the manager of the store. And that sounds like a great title, but it was $3.15 an hour. How can you survive off $3.15 an hour? And for that money, they expected once a month I had to go to Pittsburgh with all these other delegates, and I had to sit with them. There was a lot of department managers like myself with the same pay, but then there was the big store manager who would get $60,000, $70,000 a year. So there was quite an expanse between the difference of income, right? And I really wasn't paying too close attention. For $3.15, the only thing I was attentive to, I was looking at the newspaper. What better job can I get somewhere else? But nonetheless, a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, helped me to get into Airway Luggage. And there I acquired a job for $3.45 an hour. I was going up 30 cents an hour, which was still not enough to, you know, do anything with. And I was at a crossroad. And I, being the head of the household and being so depleted financially and having just now come into the house of God and hearing the word of God, and I had heard about fasting. And my pastor explained, as he explained it one day about fasting, that you wash your face, you anoint your head with oil. You don't, in other words, why do you wash your face? You don't let your left hand know what the right hand's doing. You don't let anybody know you're going to fast. And then he said, then you pray. And what do you pray for? You pray to enlist God into the scenario, and you pray that God will speak to you, and you read the word. So I did that. And so my thoughts were, I was going to fast and pray, for I'm going to give you, God, I'm going to give you a good 2 days. Because I never fasted a meal in my life. Anybody ever fasted a meal? I never fasted. When I was hungry, I ate. And of course, it's really caught on to me now, but when I fasted, when I was hungry, I ate. I never fasted a meal. And so I was going to give God 2 days. The first day was a struggle. Oh my goodness, she was making food and I was smelling the food and I wanted it so bad. I had to leave. I had to just get away from it. And I was honorable to what I said to God I was going to do. And I prayed and I read and I fasted. And that 2 days went by like that. But then what God did, God took me from a 2-day fast. And only God could have done this. He put me into a 10-day fast. 10 days, I didn't have any hunger. 10 days, I felt so, I'm telling you, I can't explain it to you. The presence of God was so strong because as I would pray, I was starting to hear him speak back to me. as I read, the words became large font and jumped off the page. Not every word, but the words that God wanted to speak to me through. Those words came off the page at me. And God was beginning to give me some insight of what I should do. Now, I want you to know, I was clueless up until this point of fasting and praying. But God made it very, very clear to me what he wanted me to do. So we started. He worked out. I'm not going to get into all of it. He worked out a way for me to start a business. I didn't think I could start a business. I didn't have the education. I didn't have the wherewithal. I didn't have any knowledge. How am I going to take care of employees? Can't take care of myself. I don't know how to deal with the paperwork, the tax forms, and everything else. But I started a business. And the other thing was I didn't have the money necessary to open up most businesses. He worked out a way where I would only have to start a business with $50, and I borrowed it from my dad. So I started a business, and the business, I would love to be able to say to you, was an easy go with an uphill climb all the way. It was 7 years of stumbling, 7 years of wondering, what should we do? What should we do? We talked, maybe we should let it go because it looks like a dead child. We should bury it. But you know what? God all of a sudden started to elevate it and elevate it and elevate it to the point where here what God's bigger picture was, God knew he was going to bring me into full-time ministry of going out and flying from state to state overseas. And along the way, I never missed a dollar. I never missed one penny because as I would go away, he also brought in individuals, my wife included, that would attend to the business. And it seemed like as I would go for weeks at a time, the business would get strengthened. It would get healthier. Matter of fact, my secretary at the time had said to me, it's good that you leave because when you leave, it seems like all these new customers keep calling. And God spoke to me one time and says, you do my business and I'll take care of your business. And so I came to realize that God had a bigger plan, far bigger than my little episode of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And let me just stop and say this. I went 10 days. I got scared because I didn't have any desire to eat. And I thought, I'm going to die. But here I come to find out, of course I was immature, I come to find out that people go 30 and sometimes 40 days into a fast. I want you to know, fasting is priority because you bring God into your situation. And God and only God can turn things around. Amen. There's a scripture that actually says, if this thing's working again, that says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In verse 21, I think it is, it says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but God gives final direction to his footsteps. So that can only happen. God will only give you final direction to your footsteps according to his will and not your will if you prioritize him and put him first and foremost. Amen? Because what happens is when you are fasting, you are bringing God into the picture. God has three wills. God has his comprehensive will, and his comprehensive will is a part of his very will that we will never understand. Because the comprehensive will of God is God knows everything from the beginning to the very end of creation. And as far as our life, he knows everything from the beginning of when we were created. He put us in our mother's womb. He knew the number of hairs upon our head. He called us by name. He knows us at the present moment. He knows the very end of our lives, what we will become according to his will. And he knows the very day that we are appointed to die. That's the comprehensive will of God, which you and I cannot attain it. But then there is the moral will of God. And the moral will of God comes from his word. And that is attainable. Because as you read the word of God, God tells us how to live an honorable, upstanding, righteous life. That we will be holy as he is holy. Not perfect, but we will be as holy as we can possibly be within our own self. Amen? That comes from the moral fiber of his word. Now, that you can attain. But as you are fasting and praying, because you have a certain situation, an emergency that you have need of, you're not going to get it from his comprehensive will. You're not going to receive it from his moral will. So how do you receive from God so that God can give you the absolute direct guidance of where he wants you to go? You receive it from his personal will. Because when you are fasting and praying, you are bringing God into the picture. When you are bringing God into the picture, then he will begin to speak to you a rhema word. He will speak to you and tell you, I want you to go down this road. It doesn't make any sense. You wonder, well, why is God telling me this? Because I have an emergency here, and that's not the route that I would go. But God, who has a comprehensive will, he knows everything regarding our future that we don't. So what we need to do when you are fasting and praying, you are going to find you're getting out of the way. You're letting God have total preeminence, and he wants you to do a certain something a certain way at a certain time because he has a bigger picture, a bigger plan for you than you could ever, ever imagine. Amen? And so we come to find that Ezra, he was in a dire strait. He was scared. He was scared. Which road do I take? And he could not have found the right road by the comprehensive will of God. He could not have found God's plan and God's will for him as far as direction goes by the moral will. He could have had the Torah, but the Torah wouldn't have said, well, you can either take road A, B, or C. No, he had to fast and pray so that he could hear God exquisitely, so that he could know God's personal will. So what does he do? He calls all of the children of Israel together at the river Ahava, and he says, we need to fast and we need to pray. Church, if you are having a problem in your family, then you should call every member of your family, excluding young children, to fast and pray that you will bring God in on the picture. Amen? If we are having a problem in the church, which at times we do, we have been missing the point because people look at me and say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do? And they get all scurried. I want you to know something. I've missed it too. What we need to do, we as a church body, we need to fast and pray. Let God intervene. Let God have the directive of what he wants to give to us. We need to let him take the reins of the life of this church and guide us in the right direction. Amen? Now, if you are having a problem individually, just yourself, then you need to fast and you need to pray and seek the Lord so that you will also receive what you have to receive from God. Because don't make the decision on your own. So we come to find that Ezra fasted and prayed for guidance from God. He brought God in, and he was going to prioritize God and let God have full reign and full decision-making over which road to take. Now, what is the purpose of fasting? The Bible says so right here. He said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves and pray. The purpose of fasting is to humble yourself. It means to get low. Get out of the way. Please recognize you are made up. We are a living, walking, talking temple. Did you know that? We are a living, walking, talking temple. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to create the temple, and the temple was created as a trifold. There's the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. But now, we, as human beings, we are the temple. We have the outer court, which is the flesh. We have the inner court, which is our spirit. We have the soul. We have the inner court, which is our spirit. And whatever you're feeding, the soul will follow. The soul is where you have your emotions. The soul is where you have your mind. So if you are constantly in charge of you, then your soul will follow your flesh. Amen? If you are constantly feeding your flesh and never feeding the spirit, then your soul, your emotions, and your mind will follow whatever the flesh says. So when you are fasting and praying and seeking God, you are literally getting to a place where you are starting to decrease. And when you begin to decrease, then as you are praying and fasting and reading the word, your spirit begins to increase. And now your spirit will have preeminence over your flesh. And now your soul will follow your spirit. And that's how it works. Amen? And so we come to find that we need to, when you're fasting and praying, your flesh will decrease because you're not feeding it. You're saying, I'm not feeding you because it's more important to me to hear from God than to feed you some food. So you get the flesh to decrease, you let your spirit increase, and you let God have a say, because at that point, you will begin to hear the voice of God very clear. And God will begin to speak to you, and he will show you little tidbits of what he has for you regarding the future of your life. You look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. There Samuel comes to Saul and says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not a head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When you were little in your own eyes, which means when you were humbled, when you were small, when you decreased. You know, John the Baptist, he turned around and he said these words. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then he says this. He said, I must decrease in order for him to increase. That's what we need to do. Fasting and praying, you get out of the way. Get your flesh out of the way and let him increase. And then your mind will be led by your spirit. Amen? Well, that's what was going on with Saul at this point. He was little in his own eyes. He was decreased. He was small. He allowed God to be large. But then he turned it around. He wanted to be like God. He built a monument in his name to himself that the people of Israel could worship that monument. Therefore, indirectly, they were worshiping him. And that's when he lost the kingship. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. I want you to see that again. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the proud. If you are wise within yourself, you're not going to hear anything. If your flesh is so strong that your flesh corrupts the opportunity for the Spirit to have prevalence over you, then you are going to go down the road that you pick, and God is going to allow it. And when you go down that road that you yourself select, not only will God allow you to do it, but God will start messing with you on the road, because ultimately he's trying to get your attention. Amen? He's trying to get your attention. So you have to understand, when we are fasting and praying, we are literally saying, Daddy, Daddy, I'm totally dependent on you. I don't know what to do here. I'm in a bind. My problem is an absolute emergency. I'm sending out an SOS. I don't know how to get out of this. And I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to have my flesh man make the decision, because I know that I mess it up all the time. So I'm calling you to be my guide. And we all have GPSs, right? I know. She doesn't even have a microwave. Okay, here we go. The truth of the matter is, before the GPS, do you remember when you were going to take a trip? You had to punch in Yahoo map and you'd get the printout. You'd have that paper, right? That's how I traveled for several years. That paper was quite a handicap, because what I had to do, if I was driving, and I drive the Connecticut, I drive the Maine, I drive the Massachusetts, Boston, throughout, I'd have that paper. Because we didn't have GPSs at the time. So I'd see the road, and I'd look at the road, and it would tell me how many miles I have to drive on that road till I catch the next road. Now, I'd put the paper down. I'm driving. This is all going 70 miles an hour. I'm putting the paper down, and I know how far I have to go before I have to look at the paper again. So I'd hit the button on the odometer, get it back to zero so I could just go ahead and cruise. But I'd always be concentrating on that odometer reading, and when it was getting close, I'd pick up that paper again, and I'd look at it, and that's how I continued to go. But I want you to know, as quality as it seemed, as irritating as it was, that map system was not foolproof. when you get into the mountain regions of Pennsylvania or West Virginia or Hershey, they didn't even know where these roads were that was on the map. I'd have to stop at stores. I'd stop at people's homes when I saw them out in the yard, and I'd ask them, where's this road at? I can't find it. They wouldn't even know where it's at. So it wasn't foolproof. And then they came out with a GPS. And a GPS, you find, it's good. It talks to you. You don't have to look at things. But it's not foolproof, because that takes you off the beaten path sometimes. I'm going to Erie one day, and it kept on telling me, make a left, make a left. And I'm not even 5 miles out of Elwood City yet. Wants me to get off of 79. It kept on misdirecting me. So they're not foolproof. I have Waze, W-A-Z-E, in my phone. It's another form of a GPS form. A little better, but it isn't foolproof. I tried to get to a golf course. It had me going round and round in circles. None of it is of any value. None of it. The only foolproof guide that we have is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's only Jesus Christ. And he's not going to pounce in on your life, because by his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is a gentleman. You have to invite him in. And the way you invite him in is you need to get out of the way. And the way you get out of the way is you let loose of some of the things that bring excitement to your flesh. Let it decrease. And let God increase. And then watch what happens. Amen? So how long do you fast? That's a question most people ask. How long shall I fast? You fast until you get your flesh out of the way. The Bible says here in Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. I don't know where that came from. I must have hit a button. No, I didn't. Well, put a lot of stuff I didn't put in there, so we're going to let that go. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. It says, now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. 3 days. They went into a 3-day fast. And during that time of 3 days, obviously, God spoke to them. God gave them clear direction. Now, why would they even think about going into a fast? Why did Ezra promote that? Because they had so much faith and so much confidence in God. They had such trust in God that they weren't going to move on their own. They knew God will come through if we honor what he tells us to do. Now, why were they so confident in God? Let me just give you a very quick overview of the book of Ezra, very quickly here. Chapter 1, verse 1, it simply says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing that all of the children of Israel were to be released. So they knew that. Then you go to chapter 6, verse 7, let the work of this house of God alone, Cyrus had said to all those who tried to offend it, and let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. So now King Cyrus is giving his proclamation, you leave them alone, because their God wants them to go back home. Chapter 6, verse 22, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So all in all, you see, they had witnessed over the many years that they were in Persia, they witnessed the hand of God. They witnessed the influence of God and the power of God, if you will. Amen? And because of that, they had such confidence in God. They knew God had released us from the bondage of Persia, from Babylon. God had sensitized King Cyrus's heart to let us go. God gave us great joy. And God even told Cyrus to set out a proclamation that all the governors were trying to offend us and hurt us from building our kingdom back, that he put out a proclamation, they are to let us go, leave us alone. So they had confidence in God. And what it was they had a big view of God. Now hear me, we're going to close with this. They had a real big view. God was big in their eyes. And because God was big in their eyes, they were going to make sure that they were going to do what was relevant. They were going to decrease and let the big God that they knew him to be take over. Amen? And they knew that God already moved on their behalf. Now, I want you to know, why did I share with you a little bit about Kegel, is his name, the Sri Lanka missionary? Why is it happening over there and not here? Because they are so poor. They are so poverty-struck as far as everything else in life that they are strengthened in their spirit. And they walk in the strength of the spirit because God to them is also very big. So I wanted you to see that. We're talking a modern-day society, and we're talking 2,000 years ago, or better, actually. It's a lot better than 2,000 years ago when Ezra was here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't say, well, that was biblical days. It doesn't happen now. It's happening now. The girl's arm grew that wasn't there. It's happening now. Because why? Because the people have God as a great big God. The reason why we're not seeing God move in our lives as a culture, as a people, and even as a church is because we have become kind of sedated. We come to church, we think we have arrived. We read the Word of God once in a while. We come to church, we hear the Word of God when you're here. But when you leave the house of God, you don't apply it. And the reason why you don't apply it is because God's not that big and that important to you. He has become a religious persona. And as long as you keep him bound in the category of a religious personification, God is not going to move on your behalf to set you free. I know that you're talking about your stepfather that has mesothelioma. It doesn't have to be that way. But see, we have been culturally taught, well, that's the way it is. That's what the doctor said. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Because of the fact that you have something so prominent that is called fasting. When you begin to fast and you begin to pray, and you begin to read the Word through that whole ensemble of time, you are going to see, you let God begin to show up. And when God begins to show up, it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the attorney says. It doesn't matter what your body is screaming out to you. It doesn't matter what the judge says. It doesn't matter what other negative influences that have come your way says. I want you to know that God has the final word. He has the final word in your life. Amen. And he will do what he has to do to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because that is his word, and the word of God is yea and amen. And I leave you with this scripture because I've said it many a time, but the Lord brought it to my heart. And I said, oh my goodness, it is so perfectly fitting. It is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. If I can find it here for you. Oh, there it is. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't trust in you, because you will blow it every time. You in your flesh, as you're feeding the flesh, now follow me, as you're taking in and building up and puffing up the flesh, you will then be there crying, oh my God, I don't know what we're going to do. Chomp, chomp. Oh my God, I don't know what. And your flesh is growing, and your flesh is growing, but your spirit has been diffused. Your spirit is small. And you're being led by the flesh, and the problem is so enormous and it's chaotic. But here it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Understanding is part of your emotional system of your soul that is led by either your flesh or your spirit. If you are not fasting and praying during times of emergency, your understanding will be corrupt and frightened because it's being led by the flesh. Amen. But otherwise, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge means magnify him, glorify him, make God big, make him as big as he actually is that you can make him in your eyes. You can say, yes, I have this problem. Yes, I have this negative circumstance. Yes, I have this issue. But my God is much bigger than anything that I will ever face. I don't care how big the giant is and how small and puny you may look. I want you to know that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling within you. And therefore, the Spirit of Christ that is in you is far greater than any giant that you are ever going to have to confront. But you're never going to know the victory unless you get out of the way and let that Spirit rise up and have preeminence over your life. And when you do, he says, I shall direct your paths because I know out ahead what your future is. I know because I have comprehensive knowledge of everything about you. I know the beginning, the middle, and the end of your life. And I'm going to give you a direction today that's going to lead you on my path and not your path. And that'll only come when you surrender to God. When you surrender to God. Amen? And so what the Lord has laid on my heart for this church at this time, that we are at a crossroad, that God wants to now move forward. Are you understanding? God wants to move forward. And for the longest time, for some 10 years, we have moved forward according to, I believe this is God. You hear me? I believe this is God. I believe this is what God wants. Not only for us corporately, but also individually. And I think that it's time that we address that, readdress that. And we need to know, I know this is God. And so what God wants us to do for this entire week is to fast and pray for direction. Not only for direction, as I repeat, for the body, for the corporate body of the church, but also for you as you yourself individually. Whatever you are going through, as you are fasting and praying, you can also lay out before God and say, I need insight. I need direction. Because this is what they're saying to me, but I need you to give me, what is your desire for? What is your design over this situation? I guarantee you, he will show you a way. He will make a way. He will break through. He will become the midnight hour God for you individually as well as a church corporately. And as we fast and pray and seek God, we are seeking God that God will guide us. Because I believe that God is on the horizon of a whole new element of surprise of what he's going to do. I believe that God is going to take us into a different building, into a different area. God is going to take us, I'm not talking out of the area, but into a different area that is going to be able to house many more souls than we can even imagine. But it's only going to be by fasting and praying. Now, I know some of you might be sick in body. You might have diabetes and you can't fast. Well, you can at least give up television. You can give up something that is so satisfying to your flesh. You give it up, whatever it be. But otherwise, if you are capable, give up one meal. Give up one meal. What I did on that 10 days when God put me into that fast, I drank nothing but liquid. I drank water, I drank juice, and my wife would give me bouillon cubes in warm water. I loved it. It was delicious. And after a while, after about a day, there was no more hunger. The hunger was gone. The appetite was gone. But all of a sudden, I felt better than I've ever felt in my life. And the longer the fast went on, the better I felt, the stronger I felt, the clearer I was able to hear with sensitivity. I was able to hear God's voice. I was able to hear what was God's design for this situation. And God, even though he gave me something that didn't make sense at the time, start a business, and it was not strong, it was weak, but yet it was powerful because it maintained us even long after I retired. It's still there. Because when God puts a force in, he puts his plan in order, nothing's going to come against it. Nothing's going to come against it. So whatever you're fasting and whatever you're praying for outside the order of the body, praying for the church, trust in God. Trust God. And watch what God does. If you've never fasted before, wash your face every morning. Anoint your head with oil. And again, don't let anybody know that you're fasting because then you're bragging. You don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. That's what the Word of God says. And then you begin to read his Word. And as you're reading his Word, you are absolutely praying. And when you are praying, God is going to tell you where to read. And as you read, the words will get large and the font will get strong and certain revelation will be bouncing off the page at you. And then God will speak to you and God will begin to tell you Well, this is what I want you to do. And you don't even hesitate. You run with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Over the next few weeks, we are going to open it up for membership. If you want to be a member here, I ask that you sign the paper that is in the back of the church as well. Sherry, you can have it back there. And we'll make sure that we get that attended to as well. Anybody need prayer from the Lord before I close? Anybody want a word of prayer? We're all good? We're all good. Okay. Father, I just thank you and praise you, Father. I thank you for a beautiful day. I thank you, Father, for what you've done and all that you continue to do. Father, I thank you because I know that, Lord God, before anything, before we receive healing, before we receive freedom of from all the oppression that comes our way, we're going to be looking at all that in the next few weeks. Father, first and foremost, we needed to understand that we need to understand the reality and your terminology of true fasting, that we would fast for guidance. Guidance, not from our own design, but from your design. That we would walk according to your plan, your strategy, that you will invade our lives, invade our hearts, and Father, move us in the direction of where you would wish for us to go. We are at a crossroads, some of us, that we don't know what to do. It's very complex and complications have set in. We don't know how to get to the next level, which way do I go? I'm so confused. You stand still and let God be God. Let God be God. You fast, you pray, you read the Word of God, and you allow for God to have total dominion over your life. Father, I just thank you and praise you for the day, and I ask that you keep things warm outside. And Father, that anybody has any problems at home due to the cold, Father, bring healing to the situation, to their bodies, to their homes, whatever it is, Father. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.